Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's call. I will now turn the call over to your host, Chairwoman Gladys Dutrieu. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call this third meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission to order for the year 2022. At this time, I'd like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us for today's meeting. Vice Chairman John Coleman.
Present.
And Commissioner Ralph Unora.
Present.
We have a quorum present for today's meeting. As we know, at today's meeting, which is open to the public, the commission will act on various matters. There is no opportunity for the public to address the commission at the public meetings. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio will be available on the commission's website later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes for the meeting of January 13, 2020. And I'm going to call upon Vice Chairman John Coleman, who is the editor.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I have reviewed the minutes of the January 13, 2022 public meeting, and I move they be approved as submitted.
You have heard a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any further discussion, edits? Hearing none, all those in favor of the approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved 3-0. And at this time, we will turn it over to our Secretary of the Commission, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will walk us through or lead us through this morning's agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda items for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page 1 with matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion all three items on page 1, beginning with the Universal Service Charge Audit Report of the Metropolitan Edison Company, and ending the omnibus motion on page 2 with the Universal Service Charge Audit Report of the West Penn Power Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 3, it is recommended by Executive Director Mendelson and the Office of Executive Director that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order regarding proposed modifications to the review of voluntarily negotiated interconnection agreements.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 4 and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 4, beginning with the formal complaint of Frank Kitzmiller versus the City of Lancaster Water Department, and continuing the omnibus motion to include both items on page 5, both items on page 6, and both items on page 7, ending the omnibus with the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus JBJR Trucking, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I heard two ayes. Mr. Unor, I did not hear your vote. Okay. Three ayes. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 8, and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 8, beginning with the application of Pennsylvania MSA LLC, and continuing the omnibus on page 9 to include all three items on page 9, all three items on page 10, all three items on page 11, all three items on page 12, and all three items on page 13, ending the omnibus with the petition of the Duquesne Light Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 14 and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 14, beginning with the order regarding net metering and the use of third-party operators, and ending the omnibus motion with the order regarding the Commission's poll attachment working group.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Turning to page 15, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking to implement Act 120 of 2018, addressing replacement of lead service lines.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a motion on the matter.
Commissioner Unora.
I ask that my motion be entered into the record as if I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission is a staff recommendation on the final rulemaking order implementing Act 120 of 2018. Act 120 amends Section 1311 of the Public Utility Code to formalize Commission oversight of accelerated replacement of lead water service lines and damaged wastewater service lines. Act 120 provides specific legislative instructions on how utilities are to conduct accelerated replacements and recover related costs. Pennsylvania is not alone in its focus on this issue. The U.S. EPA recently finalized revisions of the Federal Lead and Copper Rule to protect the public from risks of lead exposure by getting 100% of the lead out of the nation's drinking water infrastructure. This motion works to achieve 100% lead removal faster than staff recommendations would appear to provide. To achieve this goal, the EPA will require all community water systems to develop and submit an inventory of lead service lines and aligns unknown status to their respective state privacy agencies. In Pennsylvania, the DEP by 2024. Approximately 2 years prior to the independent of EPA's finalization of its revised lead copper rule, the Commission proposed regulations under Act 120 to achieve similar goals. The regulations proposed that require water utilities to develop an inventory identifying the material, composition, diameter, and locations of each service line connected to the water distribution system. In comparison to the EPA rule focused exclusively on identification of lead service lines and their removal and not on inventorying all lines. The commission should not require utilities to identify service line materials beyond the inventory required in the EPA's final revised lead copper rule. Requiring such additional information as part of the PUC service line inventory requirements, one, is not consistent with the intent of the or nor necessary for compliance with Act 120. Two, is not likely cost effective because it may misdirect funds from lead removal. Three, could potentially delay lead service line replacements throughout the Commonwealth. And four, risk the creation of confusion and uncertainty in the EPA's already robust service line inventory requirements and future DEP regulations developed to direct compliance with such federal regulations. For this reason, the Commission should adopt the service line inventory and public notice requirements contained in the EPA's final revised lead copper rule, as may be enforced by DEP. Adopting these two discrete aspects of the LCRR as components of our rulemaking is prudent to step for the Commission to take at this time, when the EPA and PADEP are still in process of developing guidance, best practice, and templates regarding our shared goal of 100% lead service line removal. Therefore, I move, one, that the Commission adopt final rulemaking order and annexes at docket number L-2020-3019521, as well as associated annexes as modified by this motion and attached annexes. Two, Law Bureau, in conjunction with the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, prepare a final rulemaking order and annexes consistent with the motion and attached annexes. Thank you.
Thank you for your motion, Commissioner Unora. You've heard the motion of Commissioner Unora. Is there a second to the motion?
Coleman, Coleman second.
Second by Commissioner Vice Chairman Coleman, excuse me. Any discussion on the motion as offered by Commissioner Unora? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? I will be opposing the motion. So the motion, as offered by Commissioner Unora, amending this matter, passes by a vote of 2-1. On the matter as amended, any further discussion? I do have, did I hear Vice Chairman Coleman? Did you have discussion?
Go ahead, Chairman. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. Okay. I do have a statement to be placed on the record on the matter as amended. I ask that my statement be read into the record in its entirety. I will not be reading the entire thing in its entirety. I think you have already heard when Commissioner Unora presented his motion that we are here talking about our regulations which will implement Act 120 of 2018, which did amend Section 1311B of the Public Utility Code, directing the replacement of customer-owned lead water service lines and damaged wastewater service laterals while addressing the recovery of associated costs. This commission has long recognized the inherent and proven danger that lead service lines pose to public health and the public interest. And even prior to the passage of Act 120, the commission approved the York Water Company's replacement of this type of aged infrastructure. However, the subsequent passage of Act 120, which provides a comprehensive framework for the replacement of LSLs for jurisdictional water utilities, clarifies the Commission's authority to put replacement costs into rates and therefore will accelerate the replacement of lead service lines in the Commonwealth if properly implemented. After Act 120 was enacted, the U.S. EPA promulgated the Lead and Copper Rule Revisions, or the LCRR, on January 15th of last year, 2021, with the goal of reducing lead and copper in drinking water. The Commission's regulations regarding lead service line replacements are meant to work in conjunction with the federal LCRR, which will be implemented by Pennsylvania's DEP in an upcoming rulemaking. Under the LCRR, water systems above that law's trigger level must replace lines at varying rates. Under the LCRR, some water systems are afforded compliance alternatives and may not be required to conduct replacements. Importantly, water systems below the lead trigger level are not required to execute any system-wide replacement program. In comparison, Act 120 requires no trigger or action level for lead service line replacement, and Act 120, in conjunction with Section 1501 of the Public Utility Code, requires commission jurisdictional entities to undertake replacements as a matter of course to effectuate the removal of all the lead service lines. Stakeholders and the ERC have expressed concern regarding the interplay between the Commission's LSLR regulations and the EPA's LCRR, claiming that the Commission's regulations will not be consistent with the federal LCRR. I see the Commission's work under Act 120 as a continuation of the work we undertook with the York Water Company to remove all customer-owned lead service lines. The EPA's LCRR sets a minimum level of replacement, while Act 120 and Section 1501 provides for a full-scale replacement of commission jurisdictional lead service lines. Thus, under the Commission's final regulations, entities should be required to routinely act with the goal of total lead service line removal. This is the charge that was assigned to the Commission by the General Assembly and signed into law by Governor Wolf. With the enactment of Act 120's clear statutory directive to remove LSLs from the Commission's jurisdictional drinking water system, this Commission is constrained to first inventory the affected systems in order to cost effectively and efficiently carry out our statutory mandate. Of note, both the LCRR and our NOPR provide for an inventory. However, the Commission's service line inventory would identify each service line's material and correspondingly establish a minimum uniform structure for the organization of the data collected during the inventory process to facilitate rulemaking. The LCRR inventory does not require information required to facilitate utility rate making. Producing a report containing the information sought by the Commission in the proposed rulemaking need not be burdensome. Entities could use the inventory submitted by the LCRR as a basis for the service line inventory submitted to the Commission. To the extent that an entity desired to submit their service line inventory to the Commission at the same time as their LCRR inventory, it could do so. In other words, the Commission service line inventory would require an entity to conduct only one coordinated inventory effort of the entity-owned and customer-owned service lines. The LCRR inventory is due to DEP no later than October 16, 2024, while the Commission's service line inventory would be due at a reasonable time thereafter. With the LCRR inventory due first, any additional requirements that DEP puts into upcoming rulemakings would be incorporated, along with Commission parameters, into one database by an entity. This approach to the timing of inventory filings would avoid any duplication of efforts and any conflicts between agency requirements. While DEP is the primacy agency with respect to the LCRR, the Commission has a statutory duty to effectively implement Act 120 and regulate the safety of public utility infrastructure and assets. The NOPR does not attempt to implement the LCRR in DEP's place. I am reminded that Act 120 differs from the EPA's LCRR in a critical way. Act 120 provides the Commission with the authority to establish processes for the cost recovery of lead service line replacement. The service line inventory proposed by the Commission's NOPR necessarily will differ from the EPA-DEP inventory in order to more specifically categorize facilities to efficiently set rates. Because the LCRR and Act 120 have foundational differences, reliance on the LCRR's inventory will not be sufficient to prudently implement Act 120. It is not uncommon for entities to be required to file plans and reports with utility commissions, state environmental agencies, and federal agencies that have similar yet distinctive elements based on the regulating body's particular responsibilities. In keeping with the theme that the Commission lead service line replacements cannot be implemented simply by requiring adherence to the LCRR, it is important that the communications, education, and outreach provisions of the NOPR be maintained. As stated earlier, while both statutes involve lead service lines, the scale of replacement to be achieved under the EPA LCRR and Act 120 are different. The LCRR delineates different communication, outreach, and education activities an entity must undertake based on, one, the type of service line in use, two, if a trigger level is reached or an exceedance occurs, and three, the size and type of entity providing service. Meanwhile, Act 120 serves a purpose unique from the LCRR by requiring entities to explain how their efforts are being prioritized and consider feedback from third parties that could benefit the entity and its customers. For example, the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority has a community-led response advisory group that provides PWSA feedback on its LSLR activities. Because this is a ratepayer-funded initiative, the Commission should require entities to attempt to reduce costs by coordinating lead service line replacement program efforts with the efforts of other organizations where prudent and feasible. An entity may be able to lower its cost by coordinating LSLR activities with other projects such as street paving. As such, any communications, education, and outreach efforts that further such efficiency should be implemented. In conclusion, this commission, as a creature of the legislature, is charged with implementing Act 120, where we are able to do so without stymieing the LCRR. I see the LCRR as setting a minimum floor for national action on lead removal from drinking water systems, and Act 120 as setting a more stringent standard for the removal of lead service lines from Pennsylvania's jurisdictional water utility systems. I believe that in order to carry out our duty to facilitate the removal of all customer-owned lead service lines from water utilities under the Commission's jurisdiction while reasonably managing cost recovery, it is crucial that the Commission first establish its own specific rules regarding lead service line inventories and customer communications. If the Commission simply adopts the DEP's forthcoming inventory and communication rules pursuant to the federal LCRR, we will have met a lesser standard than established by Act 120 of 2018. And for this reason, I will be dissenting on the matter as amended. Any further discussion?
Chairman, this is Vice Chairman Coleman. I just had a brief statement.
Vice Chairman Coleman.
Thank you. Well, first, I want to take a moment this morning to commend our law bureau and the PUC team and all the parties that have commented on this rulemaking. This, as has been explained this morning, this is a very significant rulemaking for the commission, and it was initiated by you, Chairman, and myself in a joint motion not long ago. So I'm really happy that we're here this morning with Commissioner Unora's motion to bring this to conclusion. I think this is significant in a number of ways. That first, this is the only utility that we regulate that is ingested. And I think that's important just to reflect on that for a moment, on just the significance of what it is that we're talking about this morning and the impact that lead service lines have had, the adverse impact that lead service lines have had across the country. And so this action this morning is to address that very point. And I just think it's important we take a moment to reflect on just how important this matter is. I also think it's important to recognize that time is of the essence here. The quicker that the utilities, the water utilities, can get lead service lines out of the ground, the better for customers. And so I recognize that, that time is of the essence, and I also recognize that funds are limited in this regard. And in my perspective, the priority one here is to expend the time and the financial resources to do just that, get the lead lines out of the ground. So I do appreciate what the staff is recommending here in developing a service line inventory. And I'm certainly amenable to that in another proceeding, but I think the significance of where we are today and the absolute urgency should be placed upon the lead service line replacement and to focus all of the resources of the utilities and both financial and staff resources, and again, that we can take up the administrative matter of service inventory lines under another proceeding, and I would be happy to do so. So, again, I just want to commend all of the parties this morning, and I am just delighted that we're bringing this to ground, and thank you to Commissioner Unora.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Coleman. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? I will be opposing the regulations for the statements that I made prior. So the motion passes 2-1, noting my dissent.
Turning to page 16. And matters presented by Chief ALJ Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge. It is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Collins' initial decision in the formal complaint of Andrew Perrong versus Alpha Gas and Electric, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
In order, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? I do have a statement to place on the record and ask that I will read it in its entirety. Before the Commission is the initial decision on the complaint of Andrew Perrong versus Alpha Gas and Electric, LLC. This case involves assertions of telemarketing abuse and noncompliance with the state and federal do not call list. Here, the presiding administrative law judge determined that the complainant failed to satisfy his burden to demonstrate that Alpha has violated the Public Utility Code and a commission order or regulation. Notwithstanding the outcome of this instant proceeding, I find it appropriate to take the time to remind the Pennsylvania Electric Generation and Natural Gas Supplier community of their requirements under our regulations under 52 PA Code Section 111.10, which addresses telemarketing and includes a number of specific requirements as well as cross-references to other rules, including the requirement to comply with the Telemarketing and Consumer Fraud and Abuse Prevention Act under 15 USACA, Section 6101 through 6108, and the Pennsylvania Telemarketing Registration Act under Title 73 of the Pennsylvania Code, Sections 2241 through 2249. I advise all electric generation and natural gas suppliers to maintain diligence in their compliance with our telemarketing regulations to foster a healthy and robust retail shopping marketplace for the Commonwealth. Any further discussion?
Chairman, this is Vice Chairman Coleman.
You've Vice Chairman Coleman.
Thank you. I'd ask that my statement be into the record, so I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission for consideration is the initial decision and the complaint filed by Andrew Prong against Alpha Gas and Electric. The complainant alleged that Alpha engaged in illegal marketing through a phone call to his private number. The ALJ concluded that the complainant did not meet his burden of providing that Alpha was responsible for the call. I agree with the decision to dismiss the complaint. In reaching this decision, the ALJ did not consider the complainant's recording the phone call between himself and a third party. The complaint alleged the third party was an agent representing Alpha. The ALJ concluded the recorded calls are prohibited from being used by both utilities and customers in evidentiary proceedings before the commission. I note that the telephone call at issue here was recorded by an individual, not a public utility. Based on my review of the case, I would have taken a different approach with respect to the recording offered by the complainant. As set forth in my full statement, I would have relied on PA's Wiretapping Act and ALJ's authority to control the receipt of evidence and the complainant's failure to properly authenticate the recording to conclude that the complainant's recorded call was inadmissible as evidence in this case. Although the admissibility of a utility recorded call is not the issue currently before us, I further note that the Commission has accepted utility recorded calls or transcripts made from utility recorded calls as evidence. These recordings were made in a normal course of business with customer notice and consent, and these recordings are properly authenticated. As a related matter, complaints against electric generation and natural gas suppliers often involve recording of third-party verification calls. Therefore, I do not necessarily agree that telephone calls recorded by a public utility cannot be used as evidence in a commission proceeding. Despite this difference in addressing the complainant's recorded call, I ultimately agree with the ALJ that the complainant failed to meet his burden of proof. Therefore, the complaint was properly dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Coleman. Any further discussion on this matter? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
And continuing on page 16, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the recommended decision of ALJ Cheskis and ALJ Chiodo regarding the tariff supplement filed by the National Fuel Gas Distribution Corporation.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes regular agenda items. Turning now to the carry-in agenda. On the carry-in agenda, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order regarding the petition for interlocutory review and answer to material question filed by the First Energy Companies.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the carry-in agenda. Turning to the supplemental carry-in, on the supplemental agenda, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order to retain the Commission's jurisdiction over the petition for reconsideration filed on February 18, 2022 by CSX Transportation.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 3-0.
Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you, Madam Secretary, and thank everyone for joining us for our public meeting today. There's no other matters to come before us. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Kenora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Coleman, second by Commissioner Kenora. I'm assuming there's no discussion. All those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.